Council Water Supply Project Governance Committee meeting. And Arlene, do we need to commence with a roll call here?
We can.
Why don't we?
Director David Potter.
I am here.
Jean Byrne.
Here.
And Rob McLean.
Here.
And Mayor Burnett will be here soon.
Excellent. Please join me in the pledge.
Please begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So first item of business is public comment, opportunity for anybody to comment on any item that relates to the Water Governance Committee that is not on today's agenda. Welcome.
Michael Warburton, I'm the MOB Executive Director of Public Trust Alliance. And at extreme danger of seeming to suggest that it might be time for various participants in the Monterey Water Follies to get together and sing Kumbaya and maybe even decide that circumstances have changed so much that it might be time to give reasonableness another chance. I think circumstances have changed incredibly since this project was proposed, and the public organization, the California Public Utilities Commission, has changed profoundly since the applications were made. Decisions have been made, and we're really not in the same place we were before. There's many times when I've come here to talk about changed circumstances, and perhaps it's time to ask the entire local apparatus in the Monterey County area whether circumstances have changed in providing water. That's the basic public service, drinking domestic use of water in actually well-developed cities on the Monterey Peninsula. There's a discussion which has not been entered into, and agricultural water doesn't fall from the sky and isolate itself from urban water. And when it's possible for less than one half of 1% of agricultural use to solve the urban question 100%, it's time to take a look and see what we're talking about. And I hope that makes it onto the agenda.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Michael. Is there anybody else wishing to speak today? I don't see no one. I'll close the public comment period. Bring us back to our presentational item, which is an update on the Peninsula Water Supply Project and perhaps some information on the slant well. Rob, did you want to tee this up or?
I think Ian's got it.
Okay, Ian, you're in charge.
Okay, thank you. Ian Kurtz with Cal-Am. Good afternoon. In front of you here on the display, go to the next slide, please. I'll skip two ahead. They're slightly out of order. There you go. Next one. So this is the dashboard that we spoke about last time, and we also presented at the Mayor's Authority. This is an update with the results from the 5-day constant pump test. We have production at the top, which we're running the well currently at 2,000 gallons a minute. Salinity, we have a representation of the current salinity that was at the time of the 5-day pump test. At one point when we grabbed lab samples, that's the actual lab sample, 25.5 approximately. A representation of drawdown, what we found, that's the Coastal Commission permit limit, is 1.5 feet. And the technical memo that the Hydrogeologic Working Group put out found basically that monitoring well 4 had no measurable drawdown during pumping. So we exceeded that by far. And then two of the water quality parameters that were asked to be tracked were iron and manganese. And both of those were well below both the secondary MCL, which is represented on there, as well as our design maximums of 2 and 200. So that's well within operation. And then as of today, we're running the well. We started the well back up on Wednesday last week. And it is still running without issue, and it is pumping. You can go on to our SCADA website. We can, as users, can see the latest. And the upward trend, I'll just tell you, on salinity continues to slight upward trend in conductivity. It's measured in the field live with conductivity, and that trend still continues to be on an upward trend. And everything else is still holding true. Positive outcomes.
I have a question on the salinity.
Yes.
So just translate that. Minus 25, 500 means there's that much salinity, or it is?
Oh, okay. So that's it's supposed to represent approximately 25,500 milligrams per liter of TDS, where the bay pure ocean water would be 33,500. And that's an expected outcome that we would see, but that trend is, that water, as it more and more is pumped, that trend is going to continue up towards
more and more salinity.
Right, and we're seeing that in the field. So it's still too early to, what I have there in the blue is that time projection to be determined when we would reach that point. It's still too little early to give you a trend on that, but as we give further updates, we'll be able to do that.
Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
We were managing so-so without you.
Okay.
All right, so any other questions by directors of Ian? Jason, we just received an update, and perhaps you could just briefly synopsis for
yep.
Jason what
sure.
We just went over. It's a pretty quick presentation, just take a minute.
Sure. So this is the dashboard that we spoke about before, but it's populated with some results from the 5-day constant pump test. So 2,000 gallons a minute, our pump rate. Salinity was about 25,500 milligrams per liter of TDS. Drawdown from the tech memo and the Hydrogeologic Working Group, we found no measurable impact as far as coastal permit. And then the two water quality limits at the bottom are very, very low against design parameters and MCLs. So they're great too. And as of today, we started the well back up last Wednesday, and we're still pumping without issue since last Wednesday, and at 2,000 gallons a minute. And the salinity uptrend, we measure that in the field with conductivity, and that we still have a slight uptrend that's continuing, and we expect that to keep going. But we'll report back in the future as we get more under our belt pumping.
And you'd be pumping for how long this time?
We don't plan to stop.
Good.
For up to 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Can you talk a little bit about the salinity and that uptrend, and what is expected relative to what we're seeing? And just a quick look at that number, and it's quite a bit below the.
Mm-hmm.
The 96% salinity that we want, but it's headed in the right direction. How should we think through that dynamic?
Right. Well, I checked on the conductivity, just as an example. I checked on it before we came. And it's probably, the conductivity is a translation to TDS, through a conversion factor. We use a standard conversion factor that we use in the field, which is, we're using 0.68. Current salinity is about 26.5, about 26,600. And that result there is from when we turned the well off during the 5-day test. So, and now it's been running for another six days now, so we've gained another 1,000. If that holds true, you know, we still have to have lab tests to verify all the data.
But to your question, I think we made a statement based on your expert review and the review of our experts, and I thought, based on the data and the slope to date, you guys are comfortable we're going to ultimately get to the 96%. I think that's more, to answer your question, that we feel like we should get to the point that had been originally intended.
That's right. Yeah, we're seeing it in monitoring well one. It's nearly 33. It's near the ocean water. And that's between the test well and the ocean.
So currently, there's fresh water, obviously, being drawn in. And where is that coming from?
Well, I wouldn't classify any of it as fresh, but it's all brackish water. As the drawdown shows, we don't see any drawdown coming from NW1, NW4 in. So what's being drawn out of the well is the pocket of water that it draws from on what we're seeing is the ocean side. Underneath all that land is a big pool of water. It's been there for a while, so that's sort of what the draw. That's what we're seeing today.
Any other questions?
But if the steady state is 96% salt water, 4% fresh water, the expectation is that there'll be some water coming from inland, and that's the water that would need to be left in Salinas Basin. So. The projection is for a small amount and the plant is sized to allow for that water to remain, not be needed for the plant.
Okay, unless there's any other questions. Anybody in the public wishing to ask a question in regards to this report?
George Riley, a couple questions. Monitoring well number 4, I think, is right adjacent to the test well. I assume you will report impacts of other, I think there are about 9 or 8 or some other number of monitoring wells in the area. I assume you'll report as soon as you see an effect, otherwise you won't need to report on it because there's no effect, or will you report? The other question is, will the hydraulic working group make a written report of this data at some point, and what's the schedule for that?
Before we field that question, are there any other questions that anybody wishes to pose or comments they wish to make? All right, Ian.
Yes, so on the impact, yes, it's constantly monitored. We have 3 monitoring well clusters on site. We currently have 2 off site, and we have an additional 3 more coming off site. So that is continually monitored, and we post that data on the website every week, and our experts are analyzing that data. If an impact was realized, we do have to report it per our coastal development permit, so that would be reported. As far as a tech report, the Hydro Working Group just posted a technical report that allowed us to turn the well back on last Wednesday. So that's one initial report is up, and they will continue to update data on a weekly basis for now, and then later do another memo with more results.
Okay.
So I have one more question, sort of following up on the salinity thing. So if there's 4% ultimately is still fresh water coming in, where is that coming from?
That would be inland.
That would be part of the Salinas Valley.
Right.
Port water.
Right.
And then how do you compensate for that?
So that's in our project plan that we would return it to the basin in various means.
Right. Any other questions? Okay, Michael. You're attempting to, this is slightly out of order since you had an opportunity to ask a question, but I'm a lenient man, so come forward. Yeah.
Okay, this is just in the monitoring and reading the data. Is it just CalAM experts who are reading instruments, or is it Salinas Valley people? I mean, is it, you know, just one side that's reading the data, or is, you know, is it split in monitoring?
Okay, that is the official end of public questioning, so Ian, the last shot here.
Yes, so currently we're reading the data from the wells, but we are in discussions with the county for the county to be the long-term monitor of those, of that program. So that's, yeah, that's what we are today. Okay, but their electronic data and their lab certified results, so there's, the data is what it is.
Okay, thank you. We'll consider that presentation received, and I will turn the gavel over to the presiding chair. Welcome.
Thank you.
The difficult task of adoption of the action items in the minutes. So.
We'll see if we can take that up. Modifications to the minutes of March 27th from the Governance Committee, any member of the public? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion for approval.
I wasn't here at that meeting, so I'll let somebody else make that.
Well, I move approval then.
Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. We'll turn to item three, which is receive update from CalAM on pipeline procurement contract schedule and request for qualifications.
So we have slides in your agenda package with a timeline, and we'll bring it up here. Next slide, please. So this is a follow-up from our last governance committee meeting. This is just to frame up the pipeline procurement for the year in a little bit better means. So what I try to show you on the top is the governance committee meeting dates and our RFP process along the bottom. And this is to go out to get RFQs for qualifications of contractors, subsequently get RFPs from contractors that qualify, and then a value engineering session later. So what we've prepared here is that we would come forward with an RFQ for the governance committee consideration on that and review on the 20th. And then by late May, early June, we would release an RFQ to out on the street to request contractors to submit qualifications to do the pipeline, terminal reservoirs, and booster stations. And then through that process, subsequent to that, in parallel somewhat, we would start working on the RFP documents, and currently we would shoot to get that to through the governance committee in the June meeting. And then release the RFP by the end of June or early July. Give them a good 60 days to digest the RFP, the project, us answer questions. By the end of June, we would, or the end of August, I'm sorry, we would receive RFPs from contractors. And then hopefully reach a notice of award by the end of September. And we would, of course, give our recommendation to the governance committee by September meeting on the bids. And then follow, once we have a contractor, just like we did for the diesel project, once we have a contractor on board, we would walk into a VE session to try to value engineer the project. And that's where the governance committee and the water authority come in, where we have to get a value engineering firm, if desired, to be part of that process, just like the diesel. That's basically the end of my presentation.
Questions for you?
Yeah. So I have a general schedule question. When you align this with the overall project schedule, the soonest that we would have a, or the CPUC decision is currently scheduled for February, and the Coastal Commission is a few months after that. That's as soon as you could actually break ground, at least within the coastal zone. Is there anything that requires any substantial lead time in terms of procuring pipes or other equipment? Help me understand the time between November and whenever we would break ground.
Right. Yes, there are long lead term items. That would be something we, once we get a contractor on board, we'll time all that out in more detail so they can give us a little bit of input on that. But, you know, the idea would be just like the desal plant today, you know, we would have a contractor on board that would be prepared to move as soon as we are released to move next year. I'm answering the question, but that's what we're trying to do.
So there's plenty of time between the September or October notice of award and the early spring, optimistically early spring, green light from the CPUC.
For sure. Just so, however, just like when we had the green light on DSA or on the test well, it takes post-approval of coastal additional time too, before you can even move there. So there'll be another lag. So plenty of time.
Thank you, Ian. Let me entertain any questions or comments from the public. Michael.
Mike Warburton from the Public Trust Alliance again. What if this, none of this work was necessary? The Public Utilities Commission is making the determination in, I don't know, 3 months that this is actually a necessary project. What if the CPUC actually had the freedom to decide that this is not necessary? And from the very beginning, this project has been engaged as something that is inevitable. And yet our environmental laws require that you actually look and you actually entertain the question and perhaps even ask the public whether this is necessary. That's part of the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity. That entire project, I have been unable as a citizen to even ask. I mean, repeated phone calls to the contractor who's doing the contract for the Public Utilities Commission. I'm asking, are there other alternatives under consideration in that EIR? No response. And this situation just goes on and goes on. And the public is being assured that this is actually legitimate public process. It's not. And I think that the program planning for the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project should engage, honestly, the question of what sort of process is required before you start charging people utility rates. Public Utilities Commission is only allowed to pass prudent and reasonable costs onto the rate-paying public. These are not prudent and reasonable costs, and there are a lot of people who could say from their own experience that this is not the case.
Thank you, Michael, for your comments. Anyone else wish to address the governance committee on this item? Seeing none, I will close public comment and bring it back. So this is receiving this update. Any other direction or any other action that is appropriate at this point?
No, I just note that we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the RFQ for you guys to look at, give you a few weeks to look at it, and then hopefully at the next meeting we'll be able to discuss it together. So so this is really just a preview of the schedule that's going to happen over the next few months.
For me, this attached schedule of all of the components is very helpful. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many pieces, there's so many dates on a calendar, there's so much potential for slippage, but to actually have something like this that shows each of the components and how they're going to dovetail together, I think it's a great piece of information for me anyway. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think from a procurement perspective, as Ian mentioned, this desal plant that we did last year, plus this component of the pipelines together, is pretty much the entire project, with the exception of the ASR wells. And we have some pretty good comfort in what those cost, having done a few of them. So I think for us, in the next few months, we'll get to some pretty finite costs on the entire project, which is helpful.
So you're listing all of these as all parts of the total water project?
Yeah.
Okay. So just out of curiosity, I would like to ask Michael, what are the alternative projects that you would have considered?
Project that should be considered are wells in the Salinas area owned and operated by the Monterey County Water Resources Agency, and a pipeline through the Route 68 corridor to the peninsula.
Well, we kind of covered that with growers.
Wait. Has that been covered?
To the tune of no Salinas water is coming to the peninsula. Yeah.
Thank you
for that.
Yeah, and I just would say that any good EIR will have a very thorough alternatives analysis. It's a piece of any EIR. That's the whole purpose of an EIR, is to vet every other option that's out there. I'd consider an EIR that didn't have that alternatives analysis as being completely inadequate and unacceptable.
Have you guys asked for them to do it?
I'm not in a debate here. I'm on a public forum with an open and closed public process.
Okay, so this is focused on the RFQ and RFP process. At the last governance committee, the governance committee did ask to separate those two components out. So thank you to Callahan for being responsive to that. So we'll look forward to seeing the RFQ in a few weeks. In terms of the overall schedule, just a couple of quick items. I have reached out to John Lair, to Secretary Lair, about 6 months ago, but we've been trying to time this, and he has offered to host a joint meeting between the three key state permitting agencies, being the Coastal Commission, the State Water Board, and the CPUC, to review this schedule and determine whether there's any improvements to that schedule. So that's in the works, with the understanding that there's a statewide drought and an executive order, and so the state agency's schedules may be a little bit busy for the next while. Also on the schedule, we're still expecting a draft EIR for the desal project by the end of this month. Is that which is within a few days? Okay,
2 days away.
Okay. We'll look for that. We have reached out to the chair of the State Water Board, and I'm working on sending her a more formal invitation to come down sometime late this spring or early summer to either her or the full board to review all the progress that's underway, including the test well results and so forth. Working with the board of supervisors, because I understand that there may be some Salinas Valley progress that the Salinas Valley would want to share with the state board as well. With them, and with that, item four is suggest items to be placed on future agendas. We know one item, which is the RFQ, coming up in a couple weeks. Any other items to be placed on future agendas? Any member of the public want to suggest an item?
I'm still looking at the definition of feasibility that the Coastal Commission uses and the State Water Board uses that includes economic factors. I understand there's some updates coming, and I assume that's going to be rolled into some kind of review or discussion or something. And I would just hope that schedules this as soon as possible.
Okay. Thank you, George.
Good afternoon. Tom Riley, representing Monterey Peninsula Taxpayers Association. I was hoping in discussion the overall schedule that in view of the comment that the draft DIR for the DCEL is due out this week, and we know last week was the GWR draft DIR. The mayor's meeting at the last meeting kind of adopted a damn the torpedoes full speed ahead by not agreeing to hire some outside technical consultants to ring out both EIRs, draft EIRs. Again, I consider it to be kind of a damn the torpedoes full speed ahead. This was the attitude that we all took here locally when the draft EIR came out for the regional DCEL plant. We sat back, we all were happy, and then for various reasons, besides a hanky-panky of Mr. Collins, the whole thing went south. And I just am hoping that if the mayor's committee or the Water Authority doesn't decide to hire some outside consultants, that perhaps this group would put this on the agenda for discussion. Time, the clock is ticking. June 5th is deadline on the GWR, and the longer delay to hire some real experts. I was just joking with Mr. Freeman, should we start a pool on how many pages will be in the draft EIR for the DCEL? It's 1,242. I read the whole thing for the regional DCEL, and it took me a week some time ago, back in 2010. And I don't want to do that again, and I hope we're smart enough to hire some technical, somebody technical, because I didn't get paid for that, by the way. But I'm hoping we're smart enough to hire the brightest. We did it for the comparison of the three DCEL plants way back at the beginning, which is very smart. SBI did a great job. And I think we shouldn't go down the same railroad tracks that we went down with the regional DCEL. We need the best experts, technical experts. I'm not talking about legal experts, people that really know something. I'm not saying Cal Am, Mr. Crooks don't know anything about DCEL, but we need to have real experts really go over with a fine-tooth comb, actually both draft EIRs. I mean, you've got to protect the community. It's too much riding on all of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Any other suggestions for future agenda items?
Mike Warburton with the Public Trust Alliance. The change circumstances. It's not just technical people and scientists. Lawyers are needed here. And lawyers with an understanding of law and of history. And an analysis of changed circumstances is so basic to this design-build process that can't say how basic it is. And maybe an analysis of changed circumstances and not only technical, but credible. Credible makes a real difference. And it's really important, I think, to the community and what kind of community Monterey is. It's a lot of communities. But this project and what the mayors do, what the supervisors do, what CalAm does, it should be credible. And for me, personally, I've been intervening in this CPUC process for, I don't know, 6 years or so, and it has baffled me that there has not been an open and welcoming public discussion of possible alternatives or of possible challenges that the various cities face on the Monterey Peninsula.
Michael, this is a suggestion for a future agenda item, so I think that we understand.
Legal analysis of changed circumstances.
Suggestion. Any other suggestions for future agenda items? Seeing none, we stand adjourned. Thank you very much, and look forward to seeing that EIR and